angels sing. And so we're going to look at the angel song today as we've been going through our new playlist. And we started off in our study here just really, I guess, 2 weeks ago, and we started with Mary's song, the Magnificat, as it is known by, taken from the first line of her words of praise, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." And so that word Magnificat there, as we magnify the Lord. And then from there, last time we were together, we looked at Zechariah's song, the Benedictus, which also taken from the first line of his words of praise, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel," the Benedictus being the blessing, so being the blessed be the Lord God of Israel. And so this morning we're going to add our third song, and we've got one more remaining after today, and that will be Simeon's song. But this morning we're going to look at the angel song, as we've been singing about already this morning, building up to as we celebrate this wonderful season of Christmas and the coming of our Lord. And particularly this morning on how he came. And maybe juxtapose that with what we think or what many would look for a king and how a king would come, but how our king came. And that in itself is a message to us of how Jesus came to the earth. And so let's turn here as we're here in Luke chapter number 2. If you have your Bibles, if not, there's probably one in the bench in front of you, Luke chapter number 2. And we're going to start with verse number 8 there. And I'll just read it, and then we'll look at it together this morning. And it says this, And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "In excelsis Deo," or "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And there they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. All right, so this morning as we look at this third song, taken from verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest," and it does have the Latin term, "In excelsis Deo," and it's taken from that line. And so our third song being that of "Glory to God in the highest," or "In excelsis Deo," as we just sang that wonderful hymn this morning that we're so familiar with this time of year. Amen. This wonderful song of the angels. Church history records this as a song, even though the Bible doesn't necessarily say that to us, but talks about the host praising God and saying. But I guess it doesn't have quite the ring when we said the angels said. And so we're going to talk about the angels singing. So as we look at this song together, this morning, about these words of praise unto God, the announcement of a birth. Isn't it a great thing when you see the announcement of a birth? We had the privilege this past Thanksgiving Day to have my niece, as she surprised everyone with the announcement of a future birth. And they did it in a way where no one expected, and sure enough, there it was. She had a jacket on. She opened her shirt and said, "Happy Thanksgiving, I'm pregnant." And so it was a very interesting way to announce of birth, and you can see it. I'm a little bit sappy when I watch those YouTube videos, and some of them can bring a tear to my eye. I'll just go ahead and admit it. When grandma is first told about a birth that's in the future, or someone shoots a video or Snapchats it or Facebooks it or Telegrams it or YouTubes it, or, you know, so many Instagrams, WhatsApp, TikTok, and on goes the list. So many ways to announce a birth. But none tops what we're talking about this morning. And that being declared by angels. Amen. A birth that was declared by the angels, and not just one angel, as we've read here already. First declared by an angel, but then reinforced by a great host of angels. One single angel coming and declaring to the shepherds, but then followed up by a great host of shepherds the night that Jesus was born. Our key verse this morning, if we get that, this is back in my Sunday school teaching days. I always had to have a key verse. And so let's just look at a key verse this morning, a KV, if you will. If you want to mark that beside it, you can, or you can just remember this. It's down in verse 11 of chapter 2. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. All right, so we've got two things there, or really three, that we're looking at. Well, first, it's where this great event took place. It took place in the city of David, or as we know it, would be Bethlehem. And what was born that day was a Savior, Christ the Lord. A Savior, a Redeemer, as we looked a little bit last week, as we looked at the song of Zacharias and that of speaking of a Redeemer. Christ being that of a promised Messiah that we read about all throughout the Old Testament scripture, and the Lord being that of Yahweh, or the Almighty God. And this is our key verse this morning, this good tidings. What is the good news that these angels came to declare? It says, and the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings that shall be of great joy, which shall be to all people. And here's the great news this morning, is that this good news, or this good tidings that was given by these angels, was not just for them that day. But it goes throughout all generations, and even for us today, we too can declare the same thing, that unto us a Savior is born. Amen. Unto us this great Christ, this Messiah has come, and he is who? He is the Lord, Almighty God, that has come to the earth. As Mary said, that he had visited us, if we remember that. If you're familiar with the story here of this great birth that took place, we know that As Joseph had received word from in a dream by an angel that come to him, if you'll remember how that Mary, when Joseph was to take Mary, his espoused wife, was with child, and of course Joseph, having great concern, was going to put her away, and then the angel came to Joseph in a dream and said, that which is of Mary is conceived of the Holy Ghost, and he says this, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Amen. Why did Jesus come? Jesus came to save. Amen. You shall call his name Jesus. Or the Greek of that would be familiar. The Hebrew, that of the Greek, would be that of Joshua, or Jehovah saves. So even the very name of Jesus is that of a Savior, in that our God saves. Amen. His name revealed his very purpose. He would rescue sinners from the punishment that they deserve. You know, especially, I guess, this time of year, you see a lot of videos out and streamed about and hear it on the news about these great athletes or great people of influence that will come. And, you know, I guess the thing now is they'll show up and they'll pay off a bunch of bills at Walmart or something, you know, and it's a big deal, and people, you know, make a lot to do of that. And it is a good thing. It's a good thing that they are doing. But nothing compares to the fact that our King came to pay our price. Amen. And to save us. And as we look back here on this first Christmas night, that God took on flesh, divinity became humanity. As John 1:1 puts it, the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And on down in that same chapter, verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Amen. God took on flesh. Hard for us to imagine, isn't it? Hard for us to even to comprehend how that God can take on flesh. The Word, the Bible says, God was tabernacled or tented in flesh. He came, manifested Himself in flesh. Paul tells us this way over in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. He says this, speaking about that manifesting in the flesh. 1 Timothy chapter 1, First Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16 says this, "And without controversy, great is this mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up to glory." There it is, that manifested in the flesh. God was tabernacled or revealed, made known, put on display there in the face of Jesus Christ. I mean, the Bible has much to say about Jesus being the image, it says, of the invisible God. Amen? That He was more, as we've said so often, so much more than just a man. He was the creator of all things. Amen? The Bible teaches us that without Him, there was nothing made that was made. I mean, 2 Corinthians 5 and 19 says it this way, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What does that mean to us this morning? It means that the God, the creator of all things, was in Jesus Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. And what does that mean? It means that we can be right with God, that man can have a right relationship with the creator. And Paul says it this way. He says that, "And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Or what would that mean? That would be this message that we're preaching, this good tidings that the angels declared that same night, that unto us a Savior is born. I mean, a Savior. Now, you know, to preach a Savior to someone, they first have to know that they need saving, don't they? Amen. They first have to understand that their lives are in danger, that the God who made them, gave them their DNA, the very God that breathed life, the creator and Lord of all, the sustainer of life, the Bible teaches us, that God in the man Christ Jesus stepped down into time and space and saved you. Amen. See, this isn't a once upon a time story, long, long ago. This is a specific time, the fullness of time the Bible talks about. Well, back over in Luke's gospel, he says it this way, that and gives really some specifics of when this took place there in Luke chapter number 2. And that when God took on flesh, the very image, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. The Word, the Logos, as the Greek would have it. The spoken Word of God, the thought, the very plan in the mind of God. The Bible teaches slain from the foundation of the earth. Not a second thought, not a plan B, not this first one didn't work, this second one has to work, but the very plan of God from the very beginning, God would Himself come and be our Savior, be our Redeemer. The Word was God's means of the self-disclosing Himself. I love the way, and we read this the other night over at the nursing home as we were thinking about the birth of Christ and why He came. And I'd ran across it last week over here in 1 Timothy, and I'll just read it here this morning, even though we read it over there for those that may not have been there. It's over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and Paul says this way, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he says that he adds this on, of whom I am chief. Amen. Think about that. Of whom I am chief. That Christ, you say, well, why did Jesus come? Well, he came to save. I mean, he came, I love the way Paul puts it there, so simply and so direct, but yet so forceful, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. But then he adds that little parenthetical on the end and says, of whom I am the chief of sinners. Well, he can't be. I fit that category. Well, Paul understood that he was rejoicing, really, in this particular text because he had been called into the ministry. It said that he'd counted faithful, putting me into the ministry, verse 12. And then he goes into this litany of past sins of the apostle. Now, know who we're talking about this morning. We're talking about the apostle Paul. We're talking about the one that wrote, you know, probably over half of the New Testament scripture, or at least close to it. We're talking about the one that we study his letters and we look so closely at all that he said, the one that was so even influential all throughout the book of Acts. Most of the book of Acts, if not all, not maybe half of it, is written about the Apostle Paul and his life and the influence and how that God used him to bring the gospel not only to the Jews, but also to all the world, all the nations. But look at how his resume started. He said, I was before a blasphemer. Amen. What does it mean to blaspheme? It means really to make of none effect or to tear something down or to say there's nothing to a particular thing. Well, who do you reckon Paul's talking about there? He's talking about Jesus. He said, before I blasphemed him. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that he was there present when they stoned Stephen because of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. But yet the Apostle Paul says here, I was a blasphemer. He says, I was a persecutor. This same Paul that we're talking about here is the very Paul that went from city to city to bind those up that were preaching Jesus Christ and to have them cast into prison. He said, that was me. He says, I was injurious. Or he went out to harm other people. He says, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And that's why he follows it up with all this. This is a faithful saying. I wonder why he kind of adds that on before he makes this statement. Because really, we understand that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We know that all Scripture is God-breathed. But yet he wants to put an emphasis behind this. Listen, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sin. This is truth. Amen. If we fail on this, if we miss this part, there's no hope. Why? Because Jesus says, I am the only way. He says, I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So we know that there is no other way. So the emphasis was given there. But look back in Luke. Let's look here and see how Jesus came. He came, it says here, in verse 8, and they were in the same country, shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, we're talking about a king coming to the earth. We're talking about a creator coming to the earth and the declaration of his birth. And so, you know, it's not that there weren't influential people present and available during this time of history. There were the Caesars, there were the Pilates, there were those in places of rulership and all these people of power and prestige and princes and queens and all palaces. It's not those things weren't present, but yet God chose to give this message to shepherds on a hillside. Why shepherds? I've heard people say a little bit over the last few weeks, and I think it may have been even Steve Conwell. I heard him preaching on the little thing he does every morning on the radio one morning about how, and I didn't take the time to investigate it any further, but I read it maybe in a couple of references, how that it's very possible that these very shepherds that were on that hillside in Bethlehem were watching the very sheep that would be slaughtered during the temple sacrifice. That was their job. And like I say, I didn't really investigate that. I would assume that probably Pastor Conwell did. And so I'm just going to go with that this morning, that the very sheep that these shepherds were watching were the very sheep that were going to be slain in the tabernacle. So even that in itself would give us a reason why Jesus, his birth would be declared to these shepherds, because we understand that the true Lamb of God was coming into the earth. I mean, that the one that was really going to pay the price for our sin was coming into the earth. But yet, you know, these lowly shepherds that were watching over their sheep, it says watch over their sheep flock by night. So these shepherds, they weren't, if they were laying on the side of that hill asleep, they weren't very good shepherds, because the nighttime was probably the most dangerous time to watch sheep, because it's hard to protect a lot of sheep during the night. Probably it would probably be a little easier maybe during the day, because you could see much of what was going on. But here at nighttime, these shepherds are probably on close watch. They're on close guard of this flock. This was their job. And during this night watch, all of a sudden this angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. As we would be as well, right? Man, if we're on a hillside in the night, I've never had this happen to me. I think I'd be okay with it, but it's never happened. I've heard other people tell stories, but I have not seen it with my own eyes, that an angel would appear in the nighttime. Amen. That would get our attention, would it not? Amen. That would get our attention if an angel would appear in bright light, in its glory. It's, matter of fact, it says here, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. So, you know, when we think about the glory of the Lord in the Bible, this light, I mean, it's the same light that probably the Apostle Paul saw there on that road when he fell to the earth and saw a great light. I mean, the glory of the Lord. And they were sore afraid. We don't use that word a whole lot. It just means they were very scared. Sore afraid. It says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It says there's a Savior being born that's been born this day. And this shall be a sign unto you. So let's look at the sign. What is the sign of this great King coming to earth, this Savior, this Lord? Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths or clothes, however you want to say it. Cloths are probably more accurate as far as what actually took place there. I've memorized it as clothes all my life, but I hear other people read it as cloths, but we're going to go with the cloths this morning. You're going to find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. So the first thing, the first sign, here's a sign. When the Bible talks about a sign, what does it mean? Well, John talks about signs. You remember there toward the end of the John's gospel, he talks about the signs, said many signs did Jesus, other than what was recorded. He says, but these are given that you might believe that Jesus was the Christ. And so there's signs that were given. What kind of signs was John talking about there? Well, he's probably talking about, you know, the turning the water into wine. Probably talking about, you know, raising the dead, calling Lazarus out of the grave. That's a sign, isn't it? If you see someone bring a dead person back to life just by calling their name, that's a sign that there's some power there. All right, walking on water. Jesus walked on the water. That was a sign. Jesus spoke the waters to be calm. The waters were calmed. That was a sign. On and on it goes. He fed the 5,000 with just a few fishes and a few loaves. That was a sign. And John said there's many more signs that Jesus did that were not recorded, but these are given that you might believe. And so we have the evidence of the signs. And there was many that witnessed those things and would testify of them, the validity of them. But this isn't like that, is it? This sign isn't like turning water to wine. This sign isn't like feeding 5,000. It's a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. So what is this sign that the angels speak of? Well, it could be just for the simple reason of identifying the child. It could have been given so that when the shepherds went to where the babe was, that they could identify, okay, First off, a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths. That's not unusual, right? Even today, I can remember when my kids were little, I did that. I learned to do that because when Shell did leave me with the kids, which was rare, but there were times when I did, that if you wrapped them suckers up real tight, they liked that. And they, suckers, I could probably come up with a better word than that. But they like to do that. They like to be wrapped up real tight. I guess, you know, maybe they felt secure and safe and wrapped up arms, even their arms. Like, I remember putting their arms where they couldn't move their arms. I wouldn't like that, but apparently babies do. And so that's not unusual to say, here's the sign. There's a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths. But here's an unusual thing. Lying in a manger. Who puts baby in a manger? Lying in where the animals eat. That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Why is the Savior, why is the Messiah, Yahweh, Jehovah God, creator of all things, why is he in a manger? Because it's a sign. A sign for what? Well, a sign so that the shepherds could identify. But maybe we could even go beyond that and say it's a sign of this, how Messiah came, of his ministry. That Jesus truly did come to those that were poor. Amen? He came to the sick, the Bible says. The message of this good tidings isn't that good people are made better. That's not the gospel. The message is that the sick are made whole. Amen. The message is that those that are in need of a physician are to be healed. Amen. Jesus says that. He says, you know, hey, I didn't come to call the righteous. I come to call the sinners. So, well, I fit that. Well, good. That means Jesus called you. He called the sinners. He called the sick. He came to those that were poor. He came unto those that were heavy laden. He came unto those that didn't have. Born to a little girl named Mary. Maddie shared some of her notes with me this week that she used during her Bible study. And one of her notes said, you know, Mary could have been, you know, 15, 16 years old. Said that she could have, being from Nazareth. You know, even the Bible teaches that no good thing come from Nazareth. It was sort of a knock on somebody from Nazareth. If you're from Nazareth, you know, you can't be so influential. And so Mary, you know, being from that household, not a lot of influence, probably poor. Mark says it this way about Christ, or Jesus says it. For even the Son of Man, that being one of the most common terms Jesus used to describe himself as the Son of Man, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen? So what is the place? He said you're going to find him wrapped in swaddling cloths. You're going to find him laying in a manger. There's much debate about this inn that we're talking about here, because if you remember when Joseph and Mary came to the inn, there was no room there. And so they had to go to the stable, or if it would have been, there's some, you know, discussion about what that inn was. There's some that actually interpret that, when we think about an inn, we think of, you know, Motel 6 or something knocking on the door and, you know, all the rooms are taken, so no vacancy. I can remember as a kid riding around. We'd go on vacation to Tennessee, and we'd ride around. It ain't like it is now. You don't go anywhere unless you have a reservation. Well, back, I don't know if we just didn't have a phone or what, but we'd just get in the car and go to Tennessee and not have a hotel. And I can remember as a kid just riding from place to place to place to place to place, looking at no vacancy, no vacancy, no vacancy. Now, who does that? Well, we did that. And we'd go inside, and, you know, we'd talk about, well, how much? Well, you know, I don't know what it was then. $35 or something. I wasn't paying, so it didn't matter. And so we'd get back in the car. It's too expensive. We'd go to the next place. Even if there was vacancy, it still cost too much. That's not what this is. It's very because they had come into Bethlehem, because at the word just the stroke of Caesar. Caesar says all the world's going to be taxed. I mean, this king, this man in a place of authority just simply signed a document. And because of one document signed, all these people had to go back to their home place to be accounted and to pay their taxes because of one king. But we know it was the plan of God. We know that God, even the king's heart, is in the hands of the Lord, and he turns it whithersoever he will. And the time had come, and Christ had been prophesied that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. Well, how can Mary, that has the Christ child about to be born, being in Nazareth, all of a sudden end up in Bethlehem? Amen. Why? Because God said, Caesar, tax the world. And Caesar's like, I got an idea. I'll tax the world. I'm such a smart man. Not knowing all along it was the plan of God. So whether this was, it wasn't a Motel 6, but what, there's some that interpret that in the guest house, and that the guest house was full. And so they had to go to a stable, which could have been a stable as we would know it, or also could have been a cave or some place outside, you know, where the animals were kept. And so, however, you know, either way, the picture's there that this was a sign that the king was coming in a cave, or the king was coming and was going to be laid in a manger where animals eat. I mean, not quite the entrance that you would expect this sign for the Savior, the Messiah, and the Lord in a manger. Amen. As I was reading these words, I couldn't help but think about the Apostle Paul in his writings when he was talking about our calling. And he says this over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, because I think all this comes together. Paul says it this way, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Doesn't say none, just says not many. And then verse 27 sums it up. "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." So what does that mean? That who the world would pick to represent God, God says, I don't choose like you choose. Amen? He goes to the stables. He goes to the mangers. He goes to the Nazareths of the world. Amen? It's not that the influential aren't called. It's not that the mighty, and we get excited about it, right? You see it on the news, so-and-so come to faith in Christ. Hallelujah. And that's a great thing. I'm not trying to belittle when someone of might come. But the fact is, not many do. Yeah? But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, or God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things or lowly things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And if we're going to glory this morning, our glory is in the Lord. Amen. That's why Paul said, I'm chief of sinners. Why? Because he knew that if the world was picking, they probably wouldn't have picked him. But here we find Mary and Joseph and Jesus in a cave. Amen. And even in Jesus' ministry, we find him really, there's no room for him then, even in his ministry. If you remember the one that came to Jesus and said, come to my house. And what did Jesus say? He said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. There, again, using that term, Son of Man, that when he walked the earth, he walked with the tax collectors. He walked with the harlots and the sinners. He walked with those that foolishness as far as fishermen. He called fishermen to come follow him. Now, it's important to say, just as an add-on this morning, that when they left his presence, they were no longer harlots. They were no longer sinners. Amen. If they followed Jesus, they became the foundation of the early church. And even to us today, we preach the gospel because men like Peter, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." What rock? The fact that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And so we find that even in his ministry, he wouldn't find him in a palace or in a king's hall. You'd find him in the streets of Jerusalem or out on some well side in Samaria. You'd find him up on the shore of Galilee preaching out of a fishing boat. This is where you'd find Jesus. Amen. Why? Because he was born in a manger. This shall be a sign. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. All throughout his ministry, he went to the weak. He went to the sick. Even on his death, he died on a cross between two thieves. And as he was wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, Joseph of Arimathea took his body, wrapped it in fine linen, and laid it in the cave once again. But this time it was in his death. And all through his ministry. Amen. And why did he do it? He did it so that we could have life this morning. Amen. Because he came as a Savior unto the world. Unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. Can we look on this scene? Can we look on this in this manger and see God? Is it possible for us this morning to look out in this cave or in this stable and see the face of God? Paul says it this way over in Acts 20:8. He says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Amen. There's another great reason why Jesus would come to a bunch of shepherds and give the message, why this angel would appear unto shepherds in a field, is because Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd." And here, the Apostle Paul, in preaching here in the book of Acts, says, "Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock." So what does that mean? We are the flock of Jesus Christ. What comes to mind when we think of that? David, Psalm 23, "The Lord, he is my shepherd. I shall not want," or "I shall not lack. I shall not be without." I mean, because the Lord is our shepherd. Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd." The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And that itself could be another reason why he came to those shepherds first. But he says, "which he hath purchased," let me back up, "to feed the church of God," the church of God, "which he hath purchased," and I got this underlined, "with his own blood." Think about that. God purchased the church with his own blood. Well, how can God have blood? Amen. In the face of Jesus Christ, that blood that was poured out. See, he was more than a man. He was indeed God. He was God incarnate. God come in flesh. The Bible says God purchased the church with his own blood. And that would be one of those great mysteries. Let's look at the song. Back in Luke chapter number 2, let's look at this song. This speech of the angels, or the song of the angels. It says, "This sign, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Glory to God in the highest. Now, that in itself is a declaration of just the glory of God or the majesty of God. But this is a specific event. This is talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. The very plan of God from the foundation of the earth. See, when we read about the death of Jesus and we talk about after his resurrection, or we see things about after his passion, or the Old Testament talks about the zeal of the Lord performing this, that all of creation up to this point culminates right here in this fullness of time, and that God was going to be glorified as never before. So as these angels declare the glory of God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. Peace. The peace of God. The babe's achievement was going to be that of peace. Aren't you thankful for peace this morning? The peace of God that invades a life is based on the discovery of the peace with God. Peace of God based on peace with God. We can't have the peace of God. Jesus told his disciples, my peace I give to you. I'm going to give it. I'm not going to give it as the world gives. See, the world takes it back. Man. Cheryl and I did some shopping yesterday, and we were walking around the mall up there in Lynchburg, and people going here, there, going everywhere, and so many different people. You're looking out. I like to watch folk, you know. I'm sitting there waiting on Cheryl to wheel and deal there in the stores with her 15 coupons. And we were in one store yesterday, and she did 5 transactions at least to save. I can't tell what it is because some of you folks might be getting it, but I'm glad I wasn't behind her in line. But I was out sitting in the chair watching folks walk by, and you see so many people, and they go in so many directions, and they chase so many things, and the reality of it is they're looking for peace. And, you know, as I sat there, just a thought come to my mind. I was like, you know, I could look at these folk and look down on them. But the reality of it is they're just trying to survive. They're just trying to get through life. They're just trying to deal with their problems. They're trying to deal with their issues. They're trying to deal with all the things they've got going on, because there's so much going on in all of our lives. And, you know, instead of me saying, oh, look at that one. No, they're just looking for peace. Well, here's the good news this morning. Peace I give to you. Jesus says, I've come to give peace. Calm the troubled waters of your soul. Amen. I come to speak in the midst of your storm. Amen. And bring you peace with God. See, that's the problem. There's the issue. I'm not talking about peace as a matter of just there's no more war. And a lot of people will say, well, if Jesus can't bring peace, we sure haven't seen that. Amen. My hand's up this morning. I've seen it. Amen. How many have seen that peace of God this morning? How many have the peace of God that passes all understanding? Peace with God means what? That we don't have to fear to come into the presence of the Creator. That we can have fellowship with God. We can have eternal life with the one that spoke the worlds into existence. And peace can't be found in something. Peace can be found in someone. And we're talking about that one this morning. That one is Jesus. Man, and the heavens are declaring it. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and the birds have nests, of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. He made the universe. He came to it. And there was no place for him. Man, just as they find himself here, because there was no place for him. And it came to pass, verse 15, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And it says, verse 16, and they came with haste. Amen. Isn't that great to know? They came with haste. Didn't tarry anymore. And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. There's the sign. This will be a sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. So that's exactly what they found. It says, and when they seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen as it was told unto them. Declaring the glory of God. As the song we were just singing there, Angels We Have Heard on High, as we were singing the verses and walking through them, second verse, shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be which inspire your heavenly song? Shepherds, why are you singing? And here's what they said. Come to Bethlehem and see Christ whose birth the angels sing. Come and adore on bended knees Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Amen. Christ the Lord, the newborn King. As I was leaving for work one day this week, and I found a book the other day. I think it was probably looked like something Peggy would have given me years ago about that of a father. And it was sort of an inspirational thing. And so I started reading through them, and each started with a Bible verse and then had a little saying there or some words. And it was reading there in Psalms. We're talking about we bow down. When we bow down our knees before the Lord, we bow. And I was just leaving because a lot of times I'll just sit in my chair and say a word, pray there sitting in my chair. But for some reason after I read that, I had to bow my knee before the Lord. And as I bowed my knee and bowed my head, I thought, glory to God. Amen. Why do we bow down? Because we're saying, God, you're in control. God, you are all things. There's power. There's something in bowing down, isn't it? Amen. Not standing up in arrogance. Not that you can't talk to God standing. Obviously you can, and I have many times. But when we bow down on our knees, we're saying, God, to thine be the glory. Lord, you're in control. And that's why, when we come to the Lord, so often we will come to God, to an altar of prayer, and we'll bow down. Why do we do that? Because we're saying, God, we surrender our lives to you, Lord. God, we give it all to you. Lord, you are the one that's in control. You are the one that, Lord, have all things, Lord, that created all things. And we give them unto you. Psalm 95 says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is also his. The sea is his and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Amen. For he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture. And here it is. And the sheep of his hands. Today, if you were to hear his voice, if you hear the voice of God, it says, harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works. 40 years was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Amen. But how do we enter into that rest this morning? We know it's when we bow down. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. How do we come? We come like the shepherds come. Let's come with haste. Amen. They came with haste. They didn't fool around and said, oh, you know what? I'm not so sure about this. Let's think about this a little longer. No, the angels had come. The angels had declared it, and then they had reinforced it with a great host of angels. I don't know how many. It's a lot. We're not talking about 10 or 15 angels here. One's enough. But how about a great host? Amen. The glory of God is already shining with the one angel speaking the truth. But yet a great host that came. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to the Lord God. Amen. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word today. God, we're thankful for this great message that the angels have declared. God, that we too have received a Savior, that we have received Christ, Messiah. We have received Lord. God, that you said, I am a Savior. Besides me, there is none. We know that to be true. God, you've shown it to us in your word. We're thankful for it today. God, we pray that we too will come with haste and that we will leave this place as the shepherds left that place and spread the good news of what had taken place, God, of the what they had seen with their eyes, God, what they had heard with their ears, and declared it to the world. God, let us do the same and share this great message of peace. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. If you'd like to come pray, this altar's open. We'd love to have you come pray with us. As we read that verse there, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Let us kneel before the Lord. Amen. Can we do that together this morning? Can we all just come forward, if you feel, and let us kneel before the Lord together, the Lord our God, our Maker. Amen. Let's pray.
Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand, just the sheep of his hand, for he and the sheep of his hand, just the sheep of his hand. Oh, we're the sheep of his hand, just the sheep of his hand.
Thank you. He is the good shepherd, isn't he? Amen. Just in closing this morning, I was listening to a preacher this past week, and the message he was preaching was that of the good shepherd. And he said that he had actually had an experience where a pastor friend of his had went over into the Middle East and had spent well over a year with shepherds. Just with shepherds and spending time there. He was able to do that in some way. And he worked directly with a shepherd there that were still, you know, using the old methods and going out and feeding them in different places. And he said one thing he saw he took note of was this shepherd could have, you know, 1,500 sheep, and they would all go out to the same area, these different shepherds with all these different flocks of sheep, and they would all eat in the same area. And as they were there eating together, when it come time to leave, he said the one shepherd would stand up, and there'd be thousands of sheep in this one valley, and the shepherd would make the right noise or make the call. And he said the 1,500 sheep that he had taken would all fall in line behind him and follow him out of that valley. When it was over with and all the shepherds had left the area, he said there would not be one sheep left behind. Of course, he used that with comparison to the words where Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow." Amen. When Jesus calls, aren't you glad you heard his voice? I want to follow the good shepherd this morning. Amen. Why? Because he is the good shepherd, and he cares for the sheep. Amen. Amen.